Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a new rapid test for detecting fentanyl, a hypersensitive new lead detector, and the mathematical proof that Bach was a great composer.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
Among the many problems we face in America, few are as crushing and immediate as the opioid crisis. These drugs that were developed and approved as anesthetics and for the management of pain turn out to be incredibly addictive, overwhelmingly powerful, and sadly, relatively easy to reproduce and distribute illegally.
Now, I've read some of the statistics and they are absolutely heartbreaking.
No question. Entire communities have been ripped apart. In fact, by some measures, in 2021 alone, overdose deaths involving synthetic opioids were the leading cause of death for Americans between the ages of 18 and 45, with the toll reaching over 80,000. And the primary killer, fentanyl.
Fentanyl is definitely all over the news, and I know a little bit about it. But what makes it so different than other opioids that came before it? Is it just more potent?
Well, that's an understatement. It can be 50 times more potent than heroin and 100 times more potent than morphine. That kind of potency not only makes it highly addictive, but also incredibly deadly. A lethal dose can be as little as 2 milligrams, about the same size as 10 to 15 grains of table salt.
Oof. As I understand it, there's a medication, though, that can basically reverse overdoses, right?
So, yes, it's called naloxone, and it's generally safe to use and is starting to appear on the shelves in pharmacies. But here's the thing. If someone is lying unconscious, it can be really difficult to know exactly how they got there.
And if their condition is uncertain, then it's not clear how to treat them, right?
Exactly. And to make matters worse, it hasn't been easy to test for fentanyl in the system. But a research team at the University of Texas in Dallas has developed what could be a breakthrough, a sensor that can detect trace amounts of the drug without needing expensive, time-consuming laboratory analysis.
And treating overdoses is a race against the clock.
Right. Time is of the essence. So the device the team developed operates through an electrochemical mechanism using gold nanoparticles and naloxone to sense the presence of fentanyl.
Wait, okay, so naloxone, you mean the antidote to fentanyl?
Yep, that's one of the clever things about this test. So fentanyl is notoriously challenging to detect because it's a non-volatile compound, which basically means it doesn't readily vaporize into a gas under normal conditions. Usually, you detect things like this by looking for their electrochemical signature. But because it doesn't vaporize so easily...
There's no electrochemical signature.
Right. So the researchers developed what they call a molecular mousetrap. The gold nanoparticles are like the cage, and the naloxone is like the bait because of its ability to attract and bind fentanyl.
Okay, so instead of looking for fentanyl directly, I would guess they're looking for the reaction between fentanyl and naloxone?
You got it. And the coolest thing is that it only takes a few seconds. Right now, it only works with urine samples, but they see a device in the future that will give you near-instant results with saliva or even hair follicles. And it could be built into a device that transmits results directly to a smartphone or other personal device.
So you know almost immediately if someone is overdosing on fentanyl, which means you can give them the treatment that will save their lives.
This could help save thousands of lives. Obviously, the solutions to the opioid and fentanyl crisis are extremely complex and go far beyond the treatment of overdoses. But this represents a potentially powerful tool in the toolbox.
Anyone who's read a newspaper in the past decade or so knows that lead contamination in American water systems has become a pretty major concern. In fact, in 2023, the EPA announced that it had identified more than 9 million lead pipes used to deliver drinking water across the country.
9 million, I mean, that sounds like quite a lot. I knew it was a big problem. I Didn't realize exactly how big. Like, that sounds like a lot of lead pipe.
It's an incredible amount of lead piping. Some estimates put the number of people served by those systems at a whopping 186 million. That's half of the entire American population. And here's the thing, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, says that there is no safe level of lead in a child's blood.
So in other words, any amount of lead is too much lead.
Yeah. Lead exposure can lead to all sorts of bad outcomes, from behavior and learning problems to lower IQ, hyperactivity, slower growth rates, hearing problems, anemia, and in severe cases, it only gets worse.
Okay, so how do we get rid of all of that lead?
Well, you've got to replace all those pipes, which takes a huge effort, obviously. But if you want to mitigate lead that might be in your water, you have to be able to test for it.
Yeah, sure. That's common sense.
Yeah, but there's a problem. Common tests, especially those that people can use at home, are notoriously insensitive and can be unreliable.
And if you aren't getting accurate test results, you can't realistically fix the problem.
Well, enter a team of researchers from the University of California in San Diego who have created a sensor that is literally a million times more sensitive than previous sensors.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like quite a game changer.
It really could be. And the science behind this little sensor is astonishing. So they start with a single layer of graphene on a tiny silicone wafer. Graphene was a great option because it has excellent conductivity and a great surface-to-volume ratio.
Okay, can you explain the surface-to-volume ratio? What is that? And why is it important?
Okay, it's a little complicated, but it basically means that graphene has a sort of superpower. It can exchange material from outside super efficiently. And that means that any lead ions it comes in contact with can be absorbed really quickly. But the graphene itself can't detect those ions. So the researchers added a bit of bait in the form of short strands of DNA or RNA that they modified to react only to lead ions.
That sounds like some pretty high tech right there.
It really is. So the little strands of modified RNA or DNA bind only to the lead ions, which means that the sensor only reacts specifically to lead.
So how does all of that mind-bending science detect more lead?
Mainly because they know these sensors only react to lead. They say that if a given volume of water has a single ion of lead in it, this little guy can detect it. But not only that, they also designed this to be cheaper and more reliable than sensors currently on the market.
So the science behind this is pretty incredible. Given the cheaper cost, is this something they see being used in the home? Or is this just something that only cities and governments can afford?
Both, honestly. They say this is being deployed at an industrial scale, but think it could also be used by homeowners to zero in on the potential lead dangers in their own waterworks.
The first step in solving a problem is identifying where and why it exists. It sounds like this is a bit of nanotech that gets us closer than ever.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Big news. We've all been waiting for this. Mathematicians have finally established for sure that Johann Sebastian Bach was good at writing music.
Okay, wait.
That's right. That's right. We're finally there.
Okay, I'd say that these mathematicians are like a little behind the curve by like 250 years or so.
Okay, yeah. To be honest, I had the same thought when I first read this research. But the study is actually pretty incredible, and it has implications well beyond music and math and into our very human perceptions of music itself.
Okay, I'm still trying to get my head around this. How do mathematicians study music?
Great question. So it's a study using information theory, and its aim was to explore how the ability to recall or anticipate a piece of music relates to the structure of the music.
No, did you just make music a math problem?
Some people would argue it has been for some time, but yes, in fact, it is in this case. So they chose Bach because not only was he incredibly prolific, so there's lots of music to choose from, but his style varied a lot from piece to piece. For example, there are chorals, which are meant to be played in churches where the tone would be more quiet and meditative. on the other hand, he also wrote pieces called toccatas, which were meant to entertain and surprise the listener. Now, as you can imagine, these different pieces look really different on the page, even if you don't really know how to read music.
Oh, absolutely. The frequency of the notes is probably different. I mean, more notes on the page for a faster piece, and maybe the notes are more up and down and all over the place. But for more meditative pieces, maybe there are fewer notes with less up and down.
Right. So the researchers translated some of his compositions into information networks, where each note is a node, and the transitions between notes are represented by edges. That allowed them to compare the quantity of information in different types of compositions.
So basically, they turned each composition into its own database, or like some kind of classical music infographic.
Yeah, it's not a bad way of looking at it. They wanted to know basically how well the music conveyed information. So they compared the music to listeners' perception of it using a computer model that was originally meant to assess reactions to images.
Okay, so like they tried to see how the listener perceived to the music?
Specifically, they assessed how surprising a sequence of notes was to the listener based on the probability of one note following another.
Okay, now I see where the math comes in.
Right. So they found that with Bach, the mismatch between the expected notes and the actual notes was pretty low, which suggests that Bach's pieces are really, really good at conveying information.
Wow. Okay. Could they do this with other musicians? Like maybe feed some Taylor Swift through the math machine?
Well, that's actually the plan. Not maybe with Taylor Swift just yet, but they would love to study other musicians, including non-Western musicians. And they want to refine the computer model to better align with actual brain scans of people listening to music.
Sure. So now if you claim your favorite musician is great, you might be able to use math to back it up.
That's what we've all been waiting for. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Researchers have created a handheld sensor that detects fentanyl in urine within seconds, offering a rapid and portable way to identify the deadly drug and potentially save lives.
Engineers have developed a graphene-based lead sensor a million times more sensitive than current lead tests.
Researchers are using information theory to unravel the structural complexity of Johann Sebastian Bach's music, revealing how its predictability and surprises align with human perception to understand the neuroscience of music appreciation.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.